And we're holding the top of Hey Amud Aleph. We started learning yesterday. We had two dinim of Reb Chiya. Well, the first one was on Daf Gimel, and then the second one was on Daf Dalet. Right now, we're focusing on the second one, which was the case of Heilach, where there's a case of Moed B'Miktas, but he says Heilach, the Miktas that I'm Moed on is available right away. So Reuven says you owe me 100. Shimon says I only owe you 50. And Heilach, here it is. We discussed yesterday. Does that apply to a milva or pikadon, or only to one of them? Anyway, Reb Chiya had said, nevertheless, we're going to be mechayev him to swear on the rest. Whereas Reb Sheshes had said that no, he's potter in the case of Heilach. So we've been discussing that. The last thing we brought in that connection was a Mishnah from Masechta Shavuos that talks about a case where there's a claim of Kalim and Karka. So we said if he was Moida only on the Kalim and Koifa on the Karka, or the other way around, he'd be Potter from a Shavuah because there's no Shavuah by Karka. And also if he was Moida on some of the Karka, he's Potter. Only when he's Moida on some of the Kalim, he'd be Chayev. And the Gemara tried to prove from that in the case of Heilach, also he would be Chayev. And then we said that no, the chiddush of that Mishnah is that there's no shvuah on karka. So we said, well, what's the chiddush of that? We know that already from a Mishnah in Kiddushin. So we said, according to Rav Sheshes, that's not a question. The main place where it talks about these dinim is in Masechta Shavuos. In Kiddushin, it's mentioning this point that you don't swear on karka, only incidentally, so there's no problem for there to be a Mishnah in Shavuos that wants to highlight that point, that you don't swear on claims involving karka. And the reason why you don't is because the whole concept of swearing on a claim is written in the Torah in connection with Metaltlin, and therefore we say that Karka is excluded. So now the Gemara continues. Well, now according to Reb Chiya, who says that Heilach, according to Reb Sheshes, rather. So the last thing we said was actually, according to Reb Sheshes, the point of the Mishnah was to inform us that he would be potter anyway. In the case of that Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos, what we're saying is that first the Gemara had assumed that it means that Heilach is chayev. We say not necessarily. He might actually be, and then in that case he would be potter. The chiddush was about swearing on the karka. So we're still working within Rav Sheshes's opinion. So now the question is, well, according to Rav Sheshes, why anyway is there even a need to say that Karka is Potter from Shavua? Anytime there's a claim on Karka, of necessity, it's Halach, because you can't hide Karka. So if you say that Heilach is chayev, then you would say in the case of Karka, the Torah is telling you that by Karka you're potter. But if according to Rav Sheshes you're potter by Heilach anyhow, then why does there need to be anything special to tell us that by Karka you're chayev? Tosfos points out a couple of things over here. First of all, we said before that according to Reb Chiya, the reason why he would swear in that case, we said based on Rabba's principle back on Daf Gimel about why a Moed B'Miktas has to swear is because he's trying to mishtamet, he's trying to evade the other guy for a while and claim that he doesn't owe the whole thing. Well, by Karka, on the face of it, you can't do that. And Tosfos says there could still be a little bit mishtamet. There could be, for example, what if he took that field and made it a mashkin for somebody else, and he's thinking to himself, I want to be able to raise money to get it back from that guy, so that other guy who I made it a mashkin to doesn't have a complaint against me, and therefore, meanwhile, I'm going to claim that the field is mine when really it's not. Second of all, Tosfos says the Gemara doesn't mean to say that you shouldn't need a posik at all. The fact is, we use the posik that Karka is potter from Shvua. We use it as part of klal or prat or klal. We use it to say that shtaris are not included. But the question would really be why do we need to learn Karka from that klal or prat? At least we should say the klal or prat before it was only to shtaris. If we say that Heilach is Potter. And Tosfos says also, even as far as the Shavua of Eid Echad, the Mishnah that says, in the Shavua in Al-Kakos, is talking about all kinds of Shavua, including when there are two Eidim. So anyway, the question would be, according to Rav Sheshes, why do we need that concept anyway? If anyway, Halach is going to be Potter, and Karka by definition is going to be Halach on the face of it. And the answer is, Amalach, Rav Sheshes can answer you, it's Tirchkra Hecha Bechofa Baboris Shechen Omaris. There could be a case where he dug various kinds of pits or water holes in it. So now it's not Halach anymore because now he ruined it. Inami. Or you could have, so in other words, it wouldn't be Halach because it doesn't exist in its original form anymore. And therefore, from the point of view of Halach, you couldn't potter him. But from the point of view, because it's Karka, therefore he's potter. There are several other explanations among Rishonim what exactly the Gemara means over here by Chofa Baboris Shichinum Aris. The Rambam understands it to mean that the Reuven is saying you dug two bodas in my property, and therefore you owe me for two of them, and Shimon is saying no, I only dug one, so therefore that would be a case of Karka. Then you have the Raivad understands that there would be a difference whether the Nizek is demanding the value of it or whether he wants him to actually fill in the pits. One would be considered a Tviya on Karka, the other one would be considered a Tviya on Mamon. And there are various other ones. The Rimi Gash gives an explanation that he says that Reuven is saying you stole from me a Karka that was whole, that didn't have any bodice in it. And the other one says that no, the water pits and whatever that were in it were always there to begin with. So therefore it's not Halach because he's not admitting to exactly what the other guy claims. So there are several different explanations. Inami, or another reason why we need to be told that you don't swear on cases involving Karka, one of the cases in the Mishnah over there, where he claimed that you owe me a certain number of Kalim and a certain number of Karka, and he admits on the Kalim and denies the Karka. So you would have said, otherwise you would have said that he's a murder, there's no Halach because he's not murder on the Karka. And you would have said, therefore, maybe he's considered a murder mitzvah. But no, because there's Karka involved over here, then therefore he's potter from a shavuot. So even according to Rav Sheshes, there are reasons why we have to specify that a person would always be potter from a shavuot involving any claim involving Karka. Okay. In any case, the point is that Mishnah in Shavuos is not a contradiction to either Rav Sheshes or Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya would understand that it means that in Halach in general, Yechayev, and only in the case when there's Karka, there's a specific Torah for it. Rav Sheshes would say, really, he's Potter anyway on the grounds of Halach. And that the Chiddush is that you don't swear on Karka, even in the cases, like we said, involving Boris, Shichin, or Ma'oris, or cases like that. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to bring a proof. The Toni Rami Bachom. Rami Bachom of Torah Braisa. We learned this in Baba Kama as well. Our bar shomrin tzrichin kfira b'miktzas b'hoidah b'miktzas. The four shomrin, in order to be chayev a shvua, Rami Bachom says they have to be moed b'miktzas. So now Rashi explains like this. What would be koifer by a shomer? That would be that he says lo hayu dvarim me'olam. You never deposited this thing for me in the first place. Or hechzauti loch. I returned it to you. A hodah would be actually that I still have the item in my possession and I have to return it to you. So Rami Bar Chama is saying you need kfirah b'miktzas v'hodah b'miktzas, which, as the Gemara is going to work out, is going to require therefore that you're going to have three cows. Involved. One of them is going to be koifer and say, you never deposited it with me in the first place, let's say. One he's going to say, I'm moida that I have it. And the third one he's going to say there was an oinus, or a shremachinam would say that it was stolen or whatever. Because if you only had the one, Rami Bachama says, if there was only one cow involved and he denies ever having received it, then Rami Bachama is saying he wouldn't swear the Shavuos HaShomrin. If there's only one and he says, I have it and it's available for you, of course, there's no Shavua, he just returns it. And if there was only one that he said Nenso or Nignova or whatever, then again, according to Rami Bachama's Braisa, there wouldn't be a Shavua. So there have to be three cows in that case, or three of whatever else. So he says, you need that. The point of that is, Rashi says, you have the pasuk in connection with a shomer, the original thing is in connection with a shomer chinam that says asher yoma ki huze, and from those words ki huze, we learn the concept of moed b'mitzas. Now we learned in Bava Kamma, we learned about 2 weeks ago that we had a short daf with a long tosfos over there, short omud with a long tosfos over there, where the Gemara had said iru according to the Rabbi Bar Yosef iru of parshias kosu kan. There was a mixture of parshias. The words ki huze actually referred to a malve, and we had a whole discussion over there between Rashi and Tosfos. Doesn't mean that it applies exclusively to a malve. Doesn't mean that it applies to a malve as well as we can still apply it to a shomer by learning one from the other, etc. We had that whole discussion. In any case, the point is, according to Rabbi Bar Yosef, you don't have any reason to say this, because according to him, the words ki huze primarily refer to a malva. And by a shomer, therefore, you wouldn't need moed b'mitzas. But according to Rami Bar Chama, you do need moed b'mitzas by a shomer as well, in order for him to be chayav shor. And the four shomerim are shomer chinam v'ashoyel noses socha v'asoicher. They're listed, by the way, Tosfos explains, they're listed in the order going from like one extreme to the other. First, the Shomer Chinam, who's potter on almost everything except for Pshia. Then the Shoyl, who's chayev for almost anything except Mesa Machmas Malacha. And then in between, you have the Noisis Socher, which is another name for a Shomer Socher, and a Socher, who are chayev on some things and not on other things. Anyway, so you have this braisa that lists all four of them and says all of them, you need kfirah b'miktas, for hadar b'miktas, for them to be chayav. In fact, Tosfos points out there are other mishnayos that we don't need this braisa. There are mishnayos that imply that a shomer is chayav when he's moed b'miktas. But the Gemara wanted to bring from this braisa because it lists all four shomerim. Anyway, so the Gemara says, hey, fidami, so what would be the scenario? That what do we mean? How is there going to be kfirah b'miktas v'hadar b'miktas in the case of any of the shomrim? Lav d'omale, wouldn't it be the case where lav d'omale halach? Wouldn't it be on the face of it the case where he says halach, where you don't necessarily need now we said before you're going to need three cows, but that was the maskana of the Gemara. First, the Gemara is assuming that at least as far as the one that he's moida on, that you don't necessarily need that all you need is the one he's moida on. He says halach. So he's saying, so there are three animals over here, but the first one that he's saying, the first one that you're claiming you never were mafkid with me in the first place. The second one, which you're claiming halach, it's available right now. And the third one, and then the third one, I'm claiming that nens or nignavo or what have you. So we see that halach is chayev because, we see that, the Torah is calling him a moed b'miktas because of that. And then the question is on Rav Sheshes, who says that halach is potter. So the Gemara says loy, not necessarily, because you could say de'omale, because the you can have the case where Reuven, the owner of the animal, says gimel poris masautilach umesu kulam b'pshia. Reuven is saying, I gave you three cows, and I'm claiming all of them died because of pshia, and therefore you're chayev in all three of them. And Shimon answers the shomer, one of them never happened, you never deposited with me in the first place. One died bonus, and the third one I agree died, and that one I'm chayav to pay for you. And I have to pay you for that. Well, there's no halach over there. There are three animals, and he is saying I owe you for one of them, but there's no halach because the animal is not actually available, and therefore that would be the case where Rav Sheshes is saying that Rami Bar Chama makes him chayev to swear, but not if the animal was still alive and he says halach. Then Rav Sheshes would say that he is in fact potter from swearing because then there's halach and therefore there's no mordi b'mitzas. Okay, the Gemara says toshma. So now the Gemara is setting aside over here the machloikas of Rabchia's second din and Rav Sheshes. Now the Gemara is going to go back to Rabchia's first din. So on Daf Gimel, we had Rabchia talking about a case where he's koifer hakel, where Shimon is koifer hakel, and there are edim against him that he's chayev half the money. Or fraction of the money or whatever. So then we said, Rav Chiya said he has to swear because loitehe hadas piv gdolam hadas edim, because if his own hadar makes him chayev to swear, then surely edim have to be mechayev him as well. So now the Gemara brings something as far as that. Toshma, the toni avur did up after Riki, lived Rav Chiya kamaisa. We're going to bring a proof from what the father of Rav after Riki, learned a Torah braisa that seems to contradict Reb Chiya's first din. So now, after having gone through Reb Chiya's second din and discussed the whole machlokas between him and Reb Sheshes, now we're going back to his first din. So Reb Aftariki's father brought a braisa that says as follows. Monali b'yod. Reuven says, you owe me a mona. V'aloi ma'in l'cha b'yodi klum. And Shimon says, I don't owe you anything. There are edim that he owes him 50 zuz. Yocho yishava al ashar. You would think that he has to swear modim mitzas on the rest. Talmud Lomer. No. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Al kol aveda asher yomer ki huze." For any lost thing which he will say, this is it. Meaning, in other words, and that's where we learn the concept of modim mitzas, because the balabas is saying, ki huze, this is what you owe me, and the other one is saying, no, I don't owe you that full amount. And then the pasuk says that they go for a shvua. So that's where we learn the concept of a shvua for modim mitzas. But since it says asher yomer ki huze, that means aladas pivat mechayvo. This braisa is saying that you can only be mechayv him a shvua only based on what he's murdered with his mouth. Where again, one guy says ki huze, and the other one says no, what I owe you is less than that. And you cannot on the other, but you cannot be mechayev him for the fact that edim are going against him. So that clearly contradicts Reb Chiya's din, because Reb Chiya had said that when there were edim against him, he does have to swear, and now we're saying based on this braisa that not. So the Gemara says, "Masnisa karomis alei de Reb Chiya." What are you trying to bring a braisa to contradict Reb Chiya? Reb Chiya Tana hu polig. Reb Chiya is considered a Tana, and he's able to argue with braisas. Because Reb Chiya was a Talmud of Rebbe. Rebbe is the end of the period of the Mishnayos, the end of the period of the Tanoim. Reb Chiya and a number of other Chachamim of his period, Rav is another example as well, are considered like somewhere between Tanoim and Amiroim. So they have the right. So they may not be able to argue on Mishnayos, but they're able to argue on they're able to argue on Braisis. So yes, there's a braisa contradicting him. Doesn't matter. The Gemara says, "Well, hakrok amar." Yeah, but the braisa, Reb Aftariki's father's braisa, is learning from a posuk. Reb Chiya can't contradict the posuk. And the answer is no, because Reb Chiya would answer, "Hahu l'modim mitzas atayin." That posuk is just coming to tell us about the concept of modim mitzas. It doesn't mean that when there are edim, that it shouldn't happen. The braisa we just quoted is saying that no, it means exclusively for hadas piv, not for hadas edim. Reb Chiya doesn't have to agree with that limud from the braisa. He can say, sure, there's the pasuk ki huzeh. That teaches us that if he's moida with his own words, that he's chayev, then he's chayev. And then we can make a kal v'chomer like we did before to say that edim have to be stronger than hadas piv. Whereas the Gemara says, "Va'avur de Reb Aftariki Yomalach," whereas Reb Aftariki's father will answer you back. If you can't just say you're learning one thing from the pasuk, "Ksiv hu, ksiv ze," because after all, you have two words in the pasuk, "hu" and "ze." Asher yema ki hu ze. Chad l'moidim mitzas atayna, v'chad l'ador asein in the potter. So one teaches us the basic concept of moidim mitzas, and the other one teaches us that if there are edim involved, then he would be potter, not like Reb Chiya. The idach, Reb Chiya would answer back to that. No, the two words, chad l'moidim mitzas atayna, one teaches us that moidim mitzas is chayev, v'chad l'moidim min atayna. The other one, Reb Chiya would say, does not teach us that he's potter if there are edim who say that he owns the 50, but that he owes the 50, but rather that he's not chayev unless his haidah is of the same type of thing as the taina. Meaning, in other words, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second, you can have a case where Reuven says, you owe me X amount of wheat, and Shimon counterclaims and says, no, I only owe you a smaller amount of barley. So it's not mimin ha-taina. The modim mitzas has to be of the same kind of thing as the kfira. So Reb Chiya is saying that's what we learn from the second word in the pasuk. One of them teaches us that modim mitzas is chayev, and the other one teaches us what is the definition of modim mitzas, that there have to be, it has to be that what Reuven is claiming and what Shimon is counterclaiming is has to be the same kind of thing. And the idach. So meanwhile, what is the tana of the braisa? How would he learn that? He would say modu mina taina lesle. As a matter of fact, he doesn't agree with that concept. Because the tana of that braisa would hold like Rav Gamliel. The tanan tarnich gitin behodulay besodin potter. Rav Gamliel machayev. We learn in fact in a Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos that if Reuven says you owe me X amount of wheat, and Shimon says no, I only owe you a smaller amount of barley, then he's potter. Rav Gamliel machayev. Rav Gamliel says he's chayev a shvua. So the Tana of the Braisa, so the Tana of the Braisa then would hold like Rav Gamliel in that. Meanwhile, when we say according to the Chachamim that he's potter, we would mean he's potter even on the barley. We don't just mean that he's potter on the wheat because he's kofar hakol with that. We mean even the barley, even though he himself said he owes barley, then he's still potter from that. Which there are a number of reasons that we showed him give for that. One reason is because since Reuven didn't claim barley, then in effect he was moichel on them. That's how Rashi and Tosfos in Masechta Shavuos learn. Then you have the Rosh says that in a way a sort of a variation on that. It's like a hidas baldin by the Teveya that he's not owed barley. And so you can't be mechayev him. Fine, you have, of course, Shimon is saying, I do owe you barley, but nevertheless, that's counteracted by that. It's almost like two sets of edim that contradict one another. And the Ramah, the Rosh brings from the Ramah another reason, because if Reuven is not claiming barley in the first place, then Shimon can say later, when I said I only owe you barley, meshata hayisibach, I was just joking. Since you never claimed barley, then obviously you have no serious claim of barley. And when I said that, I was just joking, and it's not hadas baldin. Whatever the case, the Tana of Rav Aftariki's father's Braisa holds like that. Rav Chiya does not hold like that. Therefore, Rav Chiya can use the second word in the pasuk teach us that din of mimin hataina, and the Braisa is not going to hold that. Tosfos, by the way, points out on the basis of that, therefore, the halacha must be at least like that first din of Rav Chiya, because if we're saying over here that it depends on any contradiction to it would have to be appointed to Rav Gamliel. The halacha is in fact like the Chachamim, Ta'anichit and Vahud Levisodim is potter. Therefore, the result would be that the halacha is at least like Rav Chiya's first din, which we just tried to contradict with this braisa. So now the Gemara is going to continue with another case that's going to bear on this first din of Rav Chiya. As far as the second din, by the way, Tosfos says earlier, there the halacha is like Rav Sheshes against Rav Chiya. So in short, when Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me a money, and Shimon says, I don't owe you anything, and there are edim that say that he does, then the halacha, Tosfos is saying, would be like Rav Chiya, that he does have to swear that he doesn't owe the other 50. On the other hand, in Rav Chiya's second din, when he says you owe me 100, and Shimon says I owe you only 50, and Halach, then he would be potter from a shvur like Rav Sheshes says, and not be chayev like Rav Chiya says. Okay, so now the Gemara brings a case which we're going to give the answer based on Rav Chiya's din. The Gemara says, Ahu Raya, there was a shepherd davu masrile koyoyim achev sabasadi. Every day, everybody in town would give him their animals to watch for the day in the presence of Aden. And Tosfos also adds, they would also tell him, when you return it to us, it has to be in the presence of Aden. One day it happened, they gave him the animals without Aden. They got careless. So now, apparently, the shepherd grabbed his opportunity. Now there's no Aden, so he claimed, you never gave me your animals today. Meanwhile, then Edim came and testified that he actually ate two of the animals, that the animals had been given to him to watch that day, and he ate two of them. What the exact scenario is, how you have that he's the, that he's the, that, um, So if Tosfos Chachmei Anglia points out that if one person had gave him all the animals and now he ate two of them, then he's moed mitzvah. He's anyway chayev to swear. And if they belong to different people, every one is you have a bunch of different claims against him, and he's a kofer hakol to each one of them. So fine, he's going to have to swear on the two that they say he ate. But why would he swear on the rest of them? And so they explain that it was given to him through a shliach. He says it's not logical that everybody schlepped out to this shepherd every day to give him their animals. We can assume they all sent them through a shliach to the shepherd, and today the shliach happened to do it without aid. So the shliach, in effect, is the one teveya against him. Anyway, Omer Abzera, im isel the Rabchia kamaisa. So Abzera says, if we accept as halacha Rabchia's first statement, and again, we just said that Tosfos says that in fact the halacha is like him, then mishtaba ashara, then we're going to make this shepherd swear about the rest of the animals, because now we have moed mitzvahs. Oh no, now we have Reb Chiya's first din. He's kofer hakol. He's saying, "Lahoy dvarim ma'olam, you didn't give me the animals today." Meanwhile, there are edim that he ate two of them, which makes him therefore that. So he's not moedim mitzas, but rather that you have edim against him. So that would be exactly Reb Chiya's first case, and therefore Reb Zera says, if we're going to say the halacha is like Reb Chiya's first din, then we would have, then we would make him swear. The shliach himself, right, would be the one who takes the, according to Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, that there was a shliach involved, then yeah, the shliach would be the one who takes the shepherd to Beis Din and makes him swear, yeah. So that's the thing. So he wasn't Modi Mixus, he was Kofar Hakel. But now that he was Kofar Hakel, but now that we have Edim, then Rabchias first din comes in. The Rashba points out, by the way, the chiddush of it is, you would think, since they always give it to him with Edim, and today they didn't, maybe in fact he has a valid taina that maybe in fact they didn't give him the animals. Nevertheless, we're saying because we have the Edim, then therefore that's reason enough to say that he's murdered Mitzvahs.
Question also, if there was no Edim, we said that he didn't give with Edim, also with Edim, the Edim, so how does that work? If there's no Edim, then how do you know that the Edim is out?
Because they didn't actually call on Edim to watch that they're giving him the animals, but nevertheless there were Edim present, you know, that when they saw from a distance, whatever, they saw that he received the animals, and later on they saw him shechting two of them. So yeah, you still have, yeah. Okay. So Omale Abaya. So Abaya says, what do you mean that im isa mishtaba? What do you mean? If we follow if the halacha is like Reb Chiya, then he's gonna have to swear. Don't you have a different problem? This guy is a gazlan. Now we have Edim that he took animals that aren't his and shech them. Reb Chiya is talking about a case where, as we said, mishtamet, where we said he's trying to evade. He's trying, in the case of a milveh, he's saying, I don't have the money to pay back yet, and therefore I'm going to try to evade him for a while until I can raise the money. In the case of a pikodin, as the Gemara is going to talk about, on Umud Beis, you could have, for example, that let's say he lost it and now he's trying to find it or whatever. But here, he's clearly a gazlan. How can he make him swear in the first place? And trust him with a shvur, asks Abaya. Amalei, so Zera answers, you're right, shekenegde kamina. I don't mean that the shepherd himself would swear. What I mean is we're going to take the shvur and impose it on the opposite party. We have a concept that when a person is choshed ala shvur, we have certain cases called hipuch shvur, where we take the shvur and flip it and put it instead of like this. If the shepherd himself weren't considered a gazlan, then we would tell him to swear and then he'd be potter. Instead, what we do is we turn over the shvur to the other party, in this case the shliach or whatever, and we tell him, you swear, and you're going to collect on that basis. That concept of hipuch shvur is dirabanan. Tosfos brings up an interesting point. We have a concept in halacha called mechuyav shvur ve'eni yochel l'shalem. There are certain cases where a person is obligated a shvur, but for one reason or another, he can't swear. There can be a case, for example, where he says, one case involves moedim mitzvahs. He says, 50 I owe you, but the other 50 I'm not sure about. So then therefore, he can't swear on the 50, but on the other 50, because he's not sure about it. And yeah, there are a number of other cases where mechuyav shvur ve'eni yochel l'shalem. You have the famous case of Naska de Rab Abba, a case that's mentioned in Baba Basra, where a person grabs a bar of silver from somebody else and he says, Ein chatvi didi chatvi. It's in Cheska Sabatim, where he says that there are Edim that he took it, but he's saying it was mine. And then you have the whole thing over there, because on the one hand, he's contradicting the Edim, on the other hand, he's saying that it was his, etc., etc. So the result is he's Mechuyev Shvor Ve'eni Yochel L'Shalem, and therefore he has to pay. So you have such cases. So Tosfos says, why don't we say the same thing over here? Why b'chlal do you have the whole concept of people shvur? Just say he has to swear, but he can't because he's a gazlan, therefore he pays. Tosfos says you can't do that because then everybody's going to take advantage of the person. Everybody's going to come and claim that we were mafkin something by him and he can't swear because he's a chosher, and then the poor guy is going to constantly lose in basting. So therefore the Chachamim came up with the concept of people shvur. Anyway, so Rav Zeira says, that's what I mean over here. Not that the shepherd will swear that he didn't receive any other animals, but the shliach, or whoever it was that gave him the animals, on the contrary, will swear that all those animals were given to him, and therefore the now he's chayev on those two that he ate, and has to return all the other ones. So the Gemara asks, hashtanami, the lesser of Rav Chiya. Fine, but even if we don't hold of Rav Chiya's din, and we're not going to say that he has to swear when there were edim against him there's edim against him for the miktas, nechayve midir Rav Nachman. Nevertheless, we can still be mechayve mashvur on the basis of what Rav Nachman says. Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Shavuos, monali b'yadcha ein lecha b'yadi. If Reuven says, you owe me a money, and Shimon says, I don't owe you anything, potter, then he's potter from a shvur. V'omer Rav Nachman, but Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman says in the Gemara in Shavuos over there, Mashbien Oisus Shavuos Heses. We do make him swear a Shavuos Heses, which is a Shavuos Derabanan. Now you have certain cases from before Rav Nachman's times of a Shavuos Derabanan. He was saying, Bechlau, in many cases where we say that Minatoda, there's no Shavuos, then Midrabanan, we still make him swear a Shavuos Heses. Kofar Hakol was one example, and there are other examples. Some of the Rishonim say that actually Rav Nachman himself was the one who was misakin. And it's not just that Rav Nachman is using that to explain the Mishnah. Rav Nachman is actually the one who came up with the takana of Shavuos Heses. What the word Heses means, there's a couple of explanations among Rishonim. Does it mean that the Chachamim are trying to convince him? They're trying to convince him to tell the truth, and therefore they're going to impose a Shavuah on him, so he'll be afraid to lie. Does the word Heses mean convincing, or does it mean imposing? Because they impose a Shavuah on him. Whatever the case, the point is, so in that case, so even without Rav Chiya's din, even if we were going to consider him a kofar hakol, and there's no shvur d'oraisa, there would still be a shvur d'rabbanan, a shvur heses, and in that case, we should be able to flip that shvur onto the other guy. So what's the difference, whether the halacha is like Rav Chiya or not?
When you say Gilgal,
Gilgal is something else. Gilgal is, while Reuven is taking Shimon to Beis Din with something where he has a reason to make Shimon swear, for example, Modir Miktas, then he can have him add other Shavuos as well for other things that otherwise by themselves he wouldn't have had a strong enough claim to demand a Shavuos, but now he can demand it together with the other thing. That's Gilgal. Heses is something else. Reuven takes Shimon to Beis Din. You owe me $100. Shimon says, I don't owe you anything. Before Rav Nachman, we would say that's it. Beis Din would say to Shimon, fine, you're free to go. Now, after Rav Nachman's din, we make Shimon take a Shavuos Heses. So there can be Gilgal Shavuah with that maybe also, but that's not the point. The point is not Gilgal Shavuah. It's a new Shavuah that was created for cases like that where there wouldn't be a Shavuah d'oraisa, but nevertheless, the Chachamim want to encourage Shimon to do the right thing. Modu Miktas would be Modu Miktas. He's Chayav Shavuah d'oraisa. D'oraisa, that's what I'm saying. There's three cases where a person is chayv shvur d'oraisa. Modu miktas, when there's one aid against him, and a shomer. And according to what we said before, what Rami Bar Chama had said in his braisa, then even the shomer would be swearing only if he himself is modu miktas. Which, by the way, there was some discussion among Rishonim and Achronim. If he's anyway modu miktas, then anyway he's swearing. So why do we care? Why does the Torah need to specify that he's swearing shvur or shomer anyway? And they come up with different scenarios where he might be chayv for one and not the other. And maybe also, and then Amban says, you're right, there's really not much of a chiddush in it that he swears a shavuos hashomim. The point is that the Torah is informing us that you can mean that there's gilgal shavuah involved over there. Anyway, the point is, getting back to the Gemara over here. So again, with the Gemara's question is like this. What are we saying? Only if we accept Rav Chiya's first din as halacha, then therefore we have a basis for being mashbia, the shepherd, and because he's a gazlan, we can't be swear him, and instead we're going to be mashbia, the guy against him. But even without that, we have a shavuah, because then we have the shavuos heses. The answer is Rav Nachman takanti. The answer is this whole concept that Rav Nachman makes a shavuos heses, a takanas chachamim, the takanta, lo yavdinan. We don't make one takana to shore up another takana. Al derech, like we say, in gozrin gzera l'gzera. So the same thing over here. Once the chachamim have made a rule that he has to swear a shavuos heses, we're not then going to take that shavua and also put on top of it another thing drabanan and be mahapachin and turn it over. and turn it over onto the other guy. Therefore, the result is so the only way we can do that would only be if the original Shavuot was a Shavuot Daraisa, which according to Rav Chiya it is. So he's a kofa hakel, but there were edim against him. According to the Priya's first din, he's chayev because of the edim, because lo tehe hadas piv gedolam hadas edim. He said because his own hodah that would make him chayev modem mitzvah shvur is not stronger than edim. So you have a shvur daraisa over there. And now we can take a shvur daraisa and we can be mahapach it, and we can flip it to the other person and say midrabanan. We're going to say you swear and you collect on the basis of it. But if to begin with there was no shvur daraisa, if we said the halacha was not like Rav Chiya and there would be no shvur daraisa because it's a kofar hakel and all there is a shvur darabanan of shvur eses, we could not flip that. Instead, what we would say is that the shepherd is supposed to swear that shvur eses, but we can't because he's a gazlan, and that's it. Things stop over there. Then there's nothing we can do.
Can't say he's a gazlan in case of
pay. Okay, because because he's claiming that these two sheep were mine. So yeah, And in fact, as Tosfos says, again, you can't say mitoch she'eini yochel lo shavu mishalim, because again, then everybody's going to take advantage of such a person, and therefore the chachamim are not going to do that. Okay. The Gemara asks, but now why are we saying, because we have Edim, Abaye had said he's a gazlan. Why? Because we have Edim that he ate these two animals and therefore, and that they weren't his. The question is, anyway, he should be posel edus, but typically to have a lay roya. Don't we have a different reason to say that he's posel to swear anyway, because the very fact that he's a shepherd. But Omer Rabbi Yehuda, stam roya posel. And Rabbi Yehuda says, in general, a shepherd is posel b'shvur because he's choshed ala gezel, because he goes and grazes his animals in other people's fields. So why does Abaye have to bring up the point that there are edim against him about these two animals? Anyway, he's a gazlan and his posel edus. And the Shittim Kubetzis adds also the point that Abaya's wording, v'ho gazlan hu, in other words, if he meant because he's a roya, he should say v'ho stam roya gazlan. The fact that he says v'ho gazlan hu implies this particular roya, there's a reason to passel him from a shvua because we know him to be a gazlan on the basis of these edim. But in other words, implying if it weren't for that, then we could be swear him, we could make him take a shvua. But why stam roya gazlan? The answer is Lakasha Hodi Dei Hoda Alma. There's a difference whether he's grazing his own animals or other people's. Because if it's his own animals, yeah, he wants to save on food for them. So therefore he's going to allow them to graze in other people's fields. So you have, you'll have like Avram, you know, who put muzzles on them, but most people don't do that, and they're going to allow them to graze in other people's fields.
I thought it meant is that they graze in the right fields. Not in a stranger's field, that's what I thought.
No, so then he wouldn't be possible. Then there's no problem with that if they're grazing it on. Mind you, I mean, we learned in Bava Kamma that you're not supposed to raise sheep and goats in Eretz Yisrael anyway, but one of the ideas behind that was because they damage other people's fields. So yeah, so when he's grazing his other animals, then yeah, he's going to allow them to graze in other people's property because he wants to save on food. But hold the alma. But when he's grazing animals that belong to other people, he's not going to be choyte where he himself doesn't benefit from it. Instead, he'll wait for them to graze until he actually reaches common property where everybody can. So here, this shepherd was not grazing his own animals. He's taking care of other people's animals. Therefore, in and of itself, him being a shepherd would not passel him only because here we have the edim that he ate two of the animals.
Yeah, but one day he's one field, one he's not field. So when do we know if we can trust him or not trust him?
That's the point. When he's grazing other people's animals, we're not concerned. If we see him grazing the animals in other people's fields, then he's a gazlan, fine. But we're saying just the fact that he's a roya in and of itself doesn't passel him, because we assume, since he's taking care of other people's animals, that he's just going to wait until he gets to the common property or the hefker property or the whatever, and do it there. And the Gemara says, "The Eloi Temahochi." After all, you have to say that a shepherd who takes care of other people's animals is not automatically considered a gazlan. Otherwise, if you weren't to say that, Anan Chavis Aloroya Heichim Asrinim, how anyway would we ever be able to give animals to a shepherd to watch? V'aksiv Lifnei Iver Leisitin Michshol. Don't you have the problem of Lifnei Iver that you're making it possible for him to do an avera? Now, maybe it wouldn't be the technicality of Lifnei Iver, because technically the Gemara describes elsewhere that only applies where he has no other ability to do the Aveira. But whatever, the point is, in other words, at least there would be a Lifnei Iver Drabanan involved over here. Ella chazaka einanum choytu v'loyloy. Rather, the reason why we can is because we have a chazaka, a person doesn't do an aveda, where it's not going to benefit him, it's only going to benefit somebody else. So if he's watching, if he's taking care of his own animals, then yes, we can say there's a high likelihood that he's allowing them to graze in other people's fields. But when he's taking care of other people's animals, we don't automatically assume that. Therefore, we can give him our animals to watch and not worry that we're abetting him and doing an aveda, because we can assume that he's not going to do such an aveda in the first place, because what does he have to gain? When he ate the animals, that's a one-off case. You can't say every time, you can't give. I mean, by the same token, you could have a shomer could deny that there could be shaleach yad or pesheya or whatever. That doesn't mean we can't give things to a shomer to watch. The same way over here. What the Gemara was concerned about is when we're saying stam roy apostle, that would mean every shepherd on the face of it is considered a gazlan. So how could we give him animals? The answer is no. Stam roya is apostle only when he's grazing his own animals. But here, where he's grazing other people's, then it's not an issue. Therefore, this shepherd wouldn't have been choshed ala shavua until we find out that he's a gazlan, specifically because he ate these two animals. Now, therefore, that was why Abaye was pointing out, well, given that he's a gazlan, how can we make him swear? And Reb Zera is saying, you're right. I don't mean that he should swear. I mean that the opposite party, the teveya, would be the one who swears and then he collects.
The general case that we had, where he always gave it with witnesses, so he wouldn't swear because it's witness.
Right. So if they gave it with witnesses, right, then there's nothing for him to swear about. He just pays, and that's that, right? But so again, all of this was based on if we say the halacha is like Reb Chiya's first din, and again, Tosfos says yes, the halacha is indeed like Reb Chiya's first din. Therefore, that would be the halacha over here in the case of the shepherd that we tell the other guy to swear a shvur min haTorah. Or now it's a shvur min haTorah that now is flipped to him, and then he collects on that basis. Okay. Now we're going to get back to our Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah, when you have the two people holding on to the talus, that each one swears that he owns not less than half of the talus. And then we said they divide up the talus. So the question is, al de isle mishtaba or al de lesle mishtaba? When a person is swearing in Beis Din, is he swearing about what he has or what he doesn't have? Meaning, in other words, Sarashi explains like this. So he wants to get half, he's going to get half the talus as a result of his shvur. Are we telling him to swear that he owns half the talus, or are we telling him to swear that he owns not less than half the talus? The problem with that second lashon is, now the way the Mishnah phrases it, she'en l'bapachas mechetzia, the problem with that is, what if he doesn't own any of the talus at all? Then when he says, I don't own in this talus any less than half, it would actually be a true shvur, because he doesn't own anything in the talus. So, in other words, Rashi says, if, let's say, he owned a third of the talus or a quarter of the talus, and he swears, I own not less than half that talus, he would be afraid to do that, because that's a shavua shav. But if he owns nothing of the talus, and he says, I own in this talus not less than half, that's technically a true shavua. He owns nothing whatsoever in the talus. Not less than half, meaning, in other words, he's saying, I own in this talus not less than half, but I don't know anything. I don't own in this talus anything, and that anything is less than half. So therefore, it's actually a true shvur. And the whole point of the shvur is to make him admit. So why are we making him swear using that lashon? Why don't we? To be sure, Tosfos says, when we make a person swear in Beis Din, it's al das Beis Din. We tell him specifically, the Mishnah mentions in the Masechta Shavuos, we tell him, don't think that you can come up with your own ideas of what the Shavuos means. It's going to be al datenu, al das Beis Din. You have to have in mind that the Shavuos is going to be understood the way we Beis Din understand it. What? Yeah, you're holding a Torah. But nevertheless, Tosfos says still, why are they making the shvur using a lashon that could be misleading, that could be you, that a person could conceivably use to cheat? So why is he swearing that I own not less than half the talus? Why don't we just have him swear straight up that I own half the talus? So Rav Huna says, because no, what we make him swear is that I own some part of the talus, and the ein liba pochus mechetzia, and that half. Is not, and that part that I own is not less than half. So that takes care of that problem. Like this was saying, he could conceivably have in mind in his shvur, I don't own anything of the talus, and that nothing that I own is less than half. Well, like this, we take care of that because we say, he's swearing, I do own something of the talus. Meaning, at that point, if he owned nothing of the talus, it would be a false sure. And within that part that I own, it's not less than half. So that covers our bases.
The answer is explain what.
So that explains, yeah.
What is the answer again? He's saying that.
So he's saying that. You don't just tell him to swear that he owns not less than a shuor she'en lo b'pachas mechetzia. You tell him to swear that I own something in this talus, and that something is at least half. Right. So the Gemara says, "B'nei Meshavur Shakola Shali." Right. So, but why should we do that in the first place? Why does he just take a Shavur? The whole thing belongs to me. Now, Tosfos points out, we learned on Beis Amud Beis, we had the Machlokas of Benanas and the Chachamim in the case of Chenvoni up in Posse. We had the case over there where the person tells the storekeeper, tells his workers, go to the storekeeper and he'll give you food and it'll be on my account, etc. And then you have the two claims, the storekeeper says he gave them, the workers say, we never received it, and both of them swear. We said Benanas doesn't like the idea that both of them will swear because he says one of them is going to be a Shavur Shal. But the Chachamim aren't concerned with that. Well, according to the Chachamim, why can't each of them swear that I own the entire talus? One of them is going to be a Shavur Shav. Doesn't matter. The Chachamim aren't concerned about that.
But they're both holding it, each one.
That's true. But nevertheless, each one is claiming the whole talus. Each one is claiming Kol HaShali after all. So why does he just swear straight out that it's a Shavur Shekol HaShali? The Gemara says, fine. But nevertheless, Umi Yavin and Laikola, the fact is we don't give him all of it. The problem is that it's going to be motzi laz on Beis Din because he said I swore that I owe the whole thing, and now Beis Din is giving him only half, so it's going to be motzi laz. People are going to say, what's going on over here? That he swore he owns the whole thing, and why shouldn't Beis Din take him as word? And here they're giving him only half, so therefore we don't want him to. That's fine, but nevertheless, we still don't want. This guy is going to go tell his friends, look what happened over here. I swore that Kol HaShali and Beis Din gave me only half. He's not gonna tell them the rest of it that the other guy also swore. So then it's gonna be motzi laz on Beis Din. So to begin with, let him swear that he owns only half, and that way he's gonna tell them, okay, you know why I got only half? Because I swore in Beis Din that I own only half. Okay, the Gemara says fine. V'neima shvur shechetz yishali. So in that case, why doesn't he just swear that half of it belongs to me? Why does he swear like this? He's swearing she'ein loy ba pochas mechetzia, that I own not less than half of it. And Rav Huna had added the detail that he's saying that I own something in it, and that something is not less than half. Why not just say straight out that I swear that I own half the talus? And the answer is mora loy l'dibure, because then he's ruining what he said. He's claiming that he owns the whole talus. So why all of a sudden would he want to swear that he owns only half?
At least.
That's the point. The Gemara asked, "Hashdenami mara le'dibore." Fine. So then, when he says she'ein le'bapochas mechetzia, it's also contradicting what he said before. Before he said I own the whole thing, and now he's swearing that I own at least pochas mechetzia. The answer is that because that's what he means. The Omar is saying kula shali. I hold that all of it is mine. All the divreichem, but you, based in who doesn't believe me. That I get the whole thing, then at least shvur sheyeshli ba, that I'm swearing a shvur that I own some part of it, the ainli ba pochas mechetzia, and that part that I own is not less than half. So in other words,
we're saying with that, because
the
whole thing.
No, again, well, he could. So that's the thing. He's saying kol HaShali, but you don't want to believe me on kol HaShali because you have another guy against me who wants the other half of the talus and claims that it's his. Therefore, I'm swearing that I own not less than half. So he's not contradicting himself. He's saying that he's not contradicting, he's clarifying, and that's fine. He's still saying, I maintain I should get the whole talus, but you don't want to believe me, at least then I'm swearing that I own not less than half of it. As opposed to, if to begin with, he said, I swear shvur shechetzi shali, then that would be contradicting what he said before, because he came into Beis Din saying kol HaShali, and now he'd be swearing that he owns only half.
Why both swear we trust, we don't say one for so lying?
Because as we said at the beginning of the Masechta, there's no reason. It could be both of them picked it up at the same time. There's no lie. Even, as I said, even Benanas would agree with our Mishnah, because in the case of Chenvoni Apin Kosei, somebody is lying. In the case of Ehud, not necessarily is anybody lying. They're both. That's fine, because each one thinks that he picked it up a fraction of a second before the other. But really, it could very well be they both picked it up at the exact same time.
So they don't say that. They probably felt best. We both jumped on it.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, obviously, based on his. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, if anyway both of them are holding on to parts of the talus, then why do we have a shvur in the first place? Why not just divide the talus without a shvur? And as we learned before, Rabbi Yechanan says, shvur is utakanas chachamimi, shaloye kalechat v'achon, hoylech b'teikah katalisei, shachabedav o'im shalihu, because we don't want people to go grab other people's talus and say that it's mine. It's true in principle, we could have done it without a shvur, but then you have that problem, so therefore we do that. Now, we already learned that before on Daf Gimel, the Ritzvah explains that this is not really a question and answer so much. This is all part of Rabbi Yechanan's statement. That before we brought it in an earlier connection, now Rabbi Yochanan was saying that all of this is part of Rabbi Yochanan's statement. It's not really that he had a question, why should we make him take a shvua, and then he had to search and come up with an answer. It's all part of a statement. The reason the Gemara is going to bring it over here is because now the Gemara is going to discuss that point. If according to Rabbi Yochanan, the reason for the shvua is that we suspect that one or the other of them is grabbing it away from the other one illegally, and therefore we're making them take a shvua, don't we have the problem, as we said before, that a gazlan is choshed on shvur? So that brings up the Gemara's question now. The Nehmer, why don't we say, migud choshed on mamon, choshed nami ashvurasa? Why shouldn't we say, once he's choshed on money, if the Chachamim are concerned that he might actually have illegally grabbed part of the talus from somebody else, then we should be choshed him and not allow him to take a shvur in the first place. Like we said before, but a gazlan can't swear. And the answer is we don't say that just because a person is choshed on money, then he's choshed on a shvur. Because a shvur is a very serious thing, Tosfos points out. You have the Mishnah in Shavuos mentioned the whole world shook, the whole world trembled when Hashem said, L'sisa Hashem, Hashem l'kecha l'shav. So therefore, see, even if a person is choshed on grabbing a talus from somebody else, we're not choshed. When we had the Roya before, we're saying that's different. He's an actual gazlan. We have edim against him, so then we can't have him swear. But here, where it's only a chshav, then nevertheless, that's not a concern. Tosfos also brings an explanation from Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, who says another reason why we would say that even if he's kosher on mammon, he's kosher for shvur, maybe because he has to swear, then he'll stay away from gezel. Where he's a gazlan vadai, then we know he didn't stay away from taking somebody else's mammon, therefore we have to be concerned he might also swear a false shvur. But here, where we don't know for sure that whether he stole or not, so therefore, so him taking a shvur will prevent him maybe from gezel. So that's another explanation of what of this choshed amamona and not choshed ashvurasa. So the Gemara says, "De'ilai teimahochi." And after all, if you have to say that just because a person is choshed on money doesn't automatically make him choshed on a shvur, because otherwise, hide amar achmana moedim mixas a tiny yeshava. What about the whole case of moedim mixas? Name a migger to choshed amamona choshed ashvurasa. Why wouldn't we say he's choshed on money? He's choshed on denying half of the claim against him, and therefore he's choshed on a shvur. And yet the Torah tells him to take a shvur. Obviously, just because he's choshed on money doesn't mean because he'd still be afraid to swear a shvur falsely or like Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid says, because this way, knowing that he has to take a shvur, will prevent him from doing the gezel in the first place. So the Gemara says, no, that's not really a proof, because the fact is, with the Moed of Mixas, he's not really actually trying to forever deny the remaining 50. He's only trying to stall for time. Kid the Rabba, like we learned on Daf Gimel, of what Rabba says, that because he doesn't have all the money right now and he's just trying to stall. So that's not a proof that he's choshed on Mamona in the first place. Where if we had reason to think that he's actually trying to say, I never owe you the 50 in the first place and I'm never going to pay it, then yeah, you might argue choshed on Mamona, and you can prove from that choshed ashwasa. But since to begin with, based on Rabba's concept, we're saying all he's trying to do is stall for time. That's not really even choshed amamoin. So no proof from that. Okay, the Gemara said, and the Gemara continues. Teda. In fact, you can prove that there is that distinction. If a person denies a milva, we learned this before as well. When a person denies a milva, then he's kosher la'edus still, but pikadin posel la'edus. But if he denies a pikadin, then he's posel la'edus. Because by a milva, as we learned there, Rashi says milva la'hitsa mitna. A milva is meant to be spent, so he may not have the money right now available to pay, and therefore he's stalling for time and claiming that he didn't receive it. But by a pikadin, he has no business. He has no business using the pikadin. He's supposed to stay by him for safekeeping. So therefore, if he denies it, then he's posel la'edus. Now the Gemara is going to point out soon. Rashi had referred to it before when he learned the Sandaf Dalet, even by Picardin. Conceivably, he might have lost it, and he's going and searching for it. Conceivably, it might have been stolen, and he's trying to catch the Ganev. So we'll see in a few lines in the Gemara why it is that by Picardin he's necessarily possible Eidos. But anyway, the point is that yes, you see, just because he's Kofo and a Milva doesn't make him possible Eidos. Similarly, it doesn't make him possible Shavua, because in both cases we say he's just stalling for time. Okay. The Gemara says, Ela hadetoni Rami Bachoma. What about, though, this that Rami Bachoma says, the Braisa that we learned on Amar Aleph, Arbar Shomim Tzuchim Kfir B'Miktas V'Adar B'Miktas, where the four Shomim, in order for them to be Chayav Shavua, have to be Kofa B'Miktas, and they have to be Modu B'Miktas. Like we said, we have the case involving the three animals, for example. Shomachinim V'Asher L'Nesisacha V'Asoicher. Same thing. Name a migad choshed amamona choshed ashvorasa. Why don't we say there it's talking about Picardin, and why don't we say there that if he's kofer in part of it, then he's choshed on stealing, and therefore he should be choshed on a shvor, and we shouldn't have him take a shvor sashomim, and yet we're saying we do. So doesn't that show? So isn't that a solid proof that just because a person is choshed on money, isn't then he's not choshed on a Picardin? Furthermore, that would also mean that we wouldn't have the distinction that Rabbi Yehuda bar Oven is saying between a milva and a Picardin. Because here we're talking about Picardin, and we're still saying he's kosher to swear. Because we're saying that one animal he's denying, and then another, and he's saying he's admitting about one animal, he's denying about another, and he's saying about the third that I'm potter because it was stolen. The answer is hosam nami ishtemuti komishtam. Because the difference is, there also you can say he's not actually trying to steal the animal, he's trying to stall for time. Sober, he figures, mashkach na laganev tafis na leiv. I'll find the ganev and I'll catch him, and then I'll get the animal back. So right now, I don't want to have to say that I should be chayev to pay for it, because I expect to be able to get it back from the ganav. Inami mashkach nolei ba'agam umasinolei. Or for example, in the case of Aveda, I left it in the meadow and it got lost over there. I'm going to go start searching through the meadow and I'm going to find it. So that's not called to begin with that he's choshed amamona, because he's really only stalling for time, same way as by a milva.
Also,
so that's what the thing. Therefore, Rami Bachoma can say he's still chayev shvuas hashomrim, because again, we say he's only stalling for time. So the same way as a mode of mixas, we say he's not choshed amamona. We're going to say go ahead and take a shvua, and that will make sure that if you're actually telling the truth, then good. And if not, then you're going to admit the truth rather than swear a false shvua. The same thing over here. We're not saying that we have a chshad that he's an actual gazlan. We're saying it's most likely that if he's kofer in part of the picardin, he's doing it only to stall for time.
That's going to be the case by Picardin and by...
By Picardin and by Milva, that's what we're saying. So the Gemara says, Yehochi ha-kofer Picardin amai posolatus. Well, by that logic, why is Rav Yehuda bar Oven saying that if a person denies a Picardin, then he's posolatus, name ishtemuti kamashtamet. Why don't we say, as we just said, that he can be stalling for time? The answer is... because he gives a figure, ad bachashno mashkach no light, because I'm gonna go look for it and I'm gonna find it. So why do we say these posolators? And the answer is you're going to also sadi vasidu beda he shy to isla cotton bebese, because he's right, I skipped the line. The answer is ki aminin a kofa bekodin posolators. When do we say that a kofa bekodin? When does Rabbi Yehuda bar Oven say that he's posolators? When Adim come and testify that at that time the Picardin was in his house and he knew exactly where it was. So now he can be possible Eidos, because now it's clear he's not stalling for time, because it wasn't lost or anything. Inami to have a knock at Lebi Yode, or you could even have when he comes to Basin holding the Picardin and he's saying, this isn't your Picardin, it's my own item. So now, then there's no stalling, obviously. So therefore, now we can say he's posolatus. No, because we said Einon Meis Ponov. So that will really depend on Rashi versus Tosfos before. Why Einon Meis Ponov? Is it because the guy did him a favor? In that case, that wouldn't necessarily apply to a Picardin. Or is it because a guy is going to know he's lying? But when he's holding an item, it's not necessarily. The items can be sold. They can be given away. They can be lost and have no simonim, etc. So just because he's holding the item, it's not necessarily that the other guy is going to realize. I mean, the other guy may claim, yeah, that's my item, but not necessarily. Is it such a blatant lie that he wouldn't try to get away with it? Okay, so the Gemara says Ela Hod Amar Avuna. Okay, but how about this that Rav Huna says later we're going to learn in Perek HaMafkid, Mashbiya Noisi Shvur She'ene Bershose. When it comes to a Shomer, so now let's say, for example, a Shomer Chinam swears that the item was stolen. Now we know he's potter because the Shemichinim is potter for Gneiva. Nevertheless, Rav Huna says we make him take a shvur that it's not actually birushuse, that it's not actually in his possession. Because otherwise, we're concerned that he likes that pikadon and he wants to keep it for himself. Now, the Rambam points out, by the way, that doesn't apply to all pikadonis. If, let's say, the guy was mafkid by him something where you could easily buy the same thing in the store, then you wouldn't have this shavuah. Because then why would he dafka take this one? He just go buy himself the same thing in the store. We're talking about where it's something unique or whatever, where he might have reason to want to keep it for himself, and therefore we make him take a shavuah that's not birushuse. So why do we do that? Don't you have the same problem? If we're concerned that he may have kept it for himself, then that means we're choshed him on money, then we should be choshed him on a shavua. And the fact is we're not. The fact is Rav Huna says that we're mashbiyahim. That shows that when a person is choshed on mammon, then he's not choshed on a shavua. So that would be a solid proof. But the Gemara says no. Hosam Nami, murder of Omar, because he can be rationalizing for himself. He's not truly a Gazlan, because he's going to rationalize for himself, but Omar, he's thinking to himself, Domi ko yahavnale. After all, look, I'm paying him for it, so it's not so bad. Nele, if I was stealing from it, yeah, if I was actually stealing it from him and not giving him the money, then yeah, I wouldn't do that. I'm not a Gazlan. But like this, when he thinks to himself, okay, so what'll happen? I'll claim, for example, that something happened to him that makes me chayev to pay him. Meanwhile, so actually not in the case where it was nignav. Let's say, yeah, in the case of a shomer socher, let's say he says it was nignav. So now he's chayev to pay. We still make him take a shvur she'ena birshusay, because he's going to think to himself, meila, if I was a shomer chinam and I'm trying to get away with keeping this thing and only taking a shvur, then I wouldn't do that. I'm not a gazlan. But here, where I'm a shomer socher, and I'm anyway paying him for the gneiva. So it's not so bad if I keep it for myself and claim falsely that it was nignav. Either way, I'm paying him for it. So it doesn't show that choshed on mamona is not choshed on shvuasa, because he was not really choshed on mamon, because he is willing to pay for it. But the fact is, he's still being over on an Isser. Loi sachmod means, it doesn't just mean to not want somebody's thing. Loi sachmod means that you actually start making efforts to get something that belongs to somebody else. Look, to desire the other guy's thing without actually doing any, taking any steps to that, that's a different Isser. That's loi sisaver that you find in the second Dibris. And then Parashas Vayeshanan, you have loi sisaver beis re'echa. So that means, b'chlau, you see somebody else has a nice house or a nice car or whatever, and you think to yourself, oh, I wish I had that. That's lois yisavah. Lois sachmod means when you start making efforts to get it. For example, over here, let's say you have that he was mafked it by you, and you use that as an opportunity. Good, I'm going to keep it for myself, and I'm going to claim that it was stolen and pay him for it or whatever. So Rav Achami Difti is asking, so he's being over on lois sachmod. So anyway, he's choshed on mammon. So and yet we're saying he takes a shvur. So that itself shows that choshed on mammon is not choshed on shvurasa. The answer is no, because lois sachmod le'inshi b'loy domi mashmalahu. People assume that lois sachmod means without paying money. People are not aware that the mitzvah, that the isra of lois sachmod includes even if you pay money. They think that lois sachmod would mean, for example, to want to take something or to make efforts to get something without paying for it. So therefore, he's not really choshed on mamona, because he doesn't realize what lois sachmod really involves. Tosfos points out, I mean, there is anyway a lav of lois sigzol, but people would think that it means that there are two lavim involved, that if a person steals from somebody else, he's over on lois sigzol and on lois sachmod. But the fact is, in other words, this is all based on a misconception, so he's not truly trying to be over on lois sachmod. He thinks, when am I going to be over on lois sachmod? Only if I don't pay him. If I pay him, then there's no problem. Therefore, he's going to think that he's not actually over on an Isser. Therefore, we can't prove from this that when a person is choshed on mammon, he's choshed on a shvur. If he knew that he's doing an Isser of mammon, then yeah, we could bring a proof from that. But since he doesn't know, then therefore, we don't have a proof from that one way or the other. So we'll continue this discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll see whether we can demonstrate that when a person is choshed on mammon, he's not choshed on shvur, and then that'll eventually get us back to other cases. Well, then we're going to be discussing other cases where a person grabs something from somebody else and what the dinim are in that connection. Good. Yeah.